Conversations with Authors podcast. I'm your host, Alison Thompson, aka The Proof Fairy, and this podcast is an excuse for me to have a chat with a published author about what inspires them to write, how they go about the writing and publishing process, and what effect it's had on their life. And I also find out what tips they have for other aspiring authors. I'm feeling a bit brave here today because my guest on the show is, like me, a writing coach. Talk about interviewing the competition, hey? Karen Williams is the book mentor at Libretas, and she has worked with hundreds of people to help them share their stories. She's also the author of 8 books to date, including Book Marketing Made Simple, Your Book is the Hook, and her autobiography, The Mouse That Roars. Hello, Karen. It's lovely to meet you today. Thank you so much for coming onto the podcast.
Thanks, Alison. Thanks for inviting me.
You're very welcome. So I was looking on Amazon. I lost count of how many books you've got. 6, 7, 8. I'm not quite sure. Tell me a bit about them.
Yeah. So 8 books. Currently working on book number 9. So my book writing journey has spanned 12 years in terms of the books I've actually published, although I did write a book before that I never did anything with. So it's been quite a journey over the last 12 years.
Yeah. So what kind of things do your books cover? Are they all within the same sort of area, or do you cover sort of lots of genres?
I am a book mentor for nonfiction business authors. So my books are all really around business, and I have written my own story as well. So my own kind of memoir stroke autobiography. So my business journey started in 2006. So I've been in business 15 years this year. Mm-hmm. But I didn't start the book writing journey until 3 years later. And it was the thing that absolutely transformed my business. But writing that first book was probably the most agonising thing I ever did as well. And I'm sure a lot of people can say that. When they write their first book, you know, you start because you're inspired. You start because you feel that you've got something to share. You start because you want to get it out to the world. And this mm-hmm. is back in 2009, before social media is like it is today. So actually writing a book was a really great way of getting your message out there. But it was a really painful process. So that was book number 1 back in 2009, and I'm currently working on book number 9, which is really exciting. And my head's been down a lot over the last few weeks to actually get it done and get it out there. It's coming together quite nicely now.
Ah, that's good. That's good. When you get into flow, it feels good, doesn't it? Once it's suddenly kind of, it's a struggle, and then suddenly it kind of cuts in and it's like, yeah, I know where this is going now. It's quite a nice feeling when that happens. So what inspired you to start writing? Was it solely to promote your business, or was there some other reason why you decided to start writing in the first place?
I've always been a writer. So when I started out in business in 2006, I was writing blogs. I said I've written before that. I've always been a reader. I've always been a writer. I've always enjoyed it. So it's been something that comes naturally to me. Writing that first book in 2009, as I said, it put me and my business on the map. And it wasn't the intention behind it. That was kind of the unexpected accident that came off the back of it when I realized how powerful a book could be. I think one of the things you've probably seen, Alison, is more people are writing books these days. In the last probably 4 or 5 years, it's become a really big thing. Before that, it was a thing that not many people did. So for me, doing it back in 2009, so it took me 18 months from start to finish, it was quite unique in the industry at the time, and it was very, very successful. I never started out thinking I was going to write a book, though. I was doing my NLP master practitioner, and I was doing interviews for that. So I was doing a modelling project. I was looking at what's the difference that makes the difference between a coach who is successful in business and one that wasn't. So I modelled some successful coaches. I interviewed 11 people in the UK and the US, and I started to find out their secrets. But through learning from them, I realised that I couldn't keep this information to myself. It was transforming my business. I wanted to get it out to more people. And as I said, unlike social media today, where it wasn't really around so much, I thought, yeah, why don't I write a book?
Just like that. I'll just sit down and write a book. Yeah.
Yeah, why not? Yeah, I wish it was easy, but it wasn't that easy. But yeah, I'm so glad I did it. It's amazing, amazing experience. And obviously I've repeated it so many times because I have a formula now, a formula that works.
Right. Yeah, I was going to say, obviously it didn't put you off given that you're on book number 9 now. So it can't have been so traumatic an experience. It was like, never again, never again.
I did say never again. My VA reminded me afterwards when I said, I'm writing book number 2. She said, Karen, you said never again. Actually, I think she reminded me after I'd done book number 2. She was quite careful there. She just let me get on with it.
Yeah, don't put you off while you're mid flow. Yeah. So you said you've got a process. How do you go about writing your books then? And how has it changed over the years? Presumably you've kind of refined it. As you've gone?
Yes, yeah, I have. So I've done it so many different ways, which is great because I can help my clients do it so many different ways. There is no one set formula, but there are steps that I take my clients through and steps I follow myself. So I do the same stuff as I tell my clients. And also when I don't do the stuff that I tell my clients, it all goes wrong. So I'm more than happy to share that. So the formula was really, I suppose I really started to develop my formula when I wrote my third book, which was back in 2014. I was at the stage, I was a business coach, and I was making that transition to doing the book mentoring back at that stage, because a lot of my clients were coming to me and said, Karen, you've written a couple of books, how did you do it? And I'd forgotten all the pain of actually writing that first book.
It's like having a baby, isn't it? It's definitely, yeah,
absolutely.
You do it and it's gone. That's it. It was easy after the event. It was really easy. But yeah, you forget how difficult it is in the process.
Absolutely. So when I wrote my third book, I did it very differently. I created a course, I sold the course, and I wrote the book alongside delivering the course. So that book was called Your Book is the Hook. And it was probably the quickest and easiest book I wrote in terms of I was testing the content as I go. I was finding out what people wanted to hear. I was answering their questions. And I think one of the things a lot of people forget when they're writing a book is to involve their readers right from the early stages. So, you know, get people involved with the research. And there's 7 different ways that I teach my clients to do that. But that was the thing that really worked back then. So involving my readers was the biggest thing that works. But now I have a process, and that process has developed over the last 7 years. So I teach 10 principles to all my clients. And the first 4 principles are all about the planning. Too many people write their books with their hand to their keyboard and they write it, whereas actually there's four key steps that they have to do before they even write their book. And if they don't do those 4 steps, they're probably going to be writing, rewriting, editing, re-editing their book for many years to come.
Yeah.
My biggest advice for anyone listening to this podcast is do your planning first. And I said there's 4 things that I tend to teach to actually help people to actually create that plan, which makes the book so much easier to write, quicker to finish, easier to get out there. And it also links to every other part of their business as well.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, when you know who you're writing for and what you want them to get out of it and what you want to get out of it as well, the plan kind of shapes itself, doesn't it? But if you haven't got those goals set out ahead, then like you said, you'll get halfway through and realise that actually you don't want to go that way, and you go back and rewrite it, and it can be really, really, really difficult. I guess the way you've published your books must have changed as well. If the first one came out in 2009, because publishing has changed, the technology behind publishing has changed so much, hasn't it, over these last sort of 10, 15 years?
Yeah, so the first one was partnership publishing, and they did a long print run. So there was 1,000 copies, which is quite scary. Oh. And I didn't even see a proof before those 1,000 copies got printed. And that's a really big mistake, but that's the publisher that I used at the time. And because I think when you're going into it and you don't have someone holding your hand, is you don't know what to do. You make so many mistakes on your journey. So yeah, I had 1,000 copies of that book printed. And that was a bit of a scary. Now, obviously, you've got print on demand. It makes it so much easier that you can tweak it if you wish to do so later. And it's not going to doesn't mean you've got 900 books that you have to ditch if something's wrong with them. And I think that's the thing.
Yeah.
Obviously, you know, I'm a bit of a recovering perfectionist. I want things to be good. However, you know, there's always that, you know, when I did a second edition of Your Book is a Hook a couple of years ago, I'm going to be doing a third edition at some stage soon. You can do it, and it's so much easier when you use the technology that's around these days.
Yeah. I mean, you don't have to have the storage space either, do you? No. Do you start any boxes
true.
Left? I wonder how many people have boxes of books in their garage from kind of, you know, 10 years ago, having to buy in bulk. I bet there's quite a few still lurking.
I'm sure there are. I know a few.
So are you a fan of self-publishing via Amazon and Ingram Spark, or are you a fan of finding a kind of hybrid company or a partner company to go with?
Ingram Spark all the way. You can publish directly onto Amazon, and there is a benefit of publishing directly onto Amazon. But obviously with Ingram, you get to reach people all around the world. I was working with a client a few years ago, and she had initially published a book directly through Amazon, but she had a massive audience in Australia. And at the time, Amazon wasn't delivering in Australia. So that makes it really different. She had a print book, no Kindle book. So she worked with myself and one of my colleagues to actually help to get her book out in Australia, and also to do a Kindle, which, you know, her audience was a young audience as well. So they want instant gratification. They want it delivered. They don't want to wait until tomorrow for Amazon Prime. They want it straight away. So actually, you know, being able to download it to their device is another great way of engaging. So yeah, Amazon's great because you get the distribution through Amazon, but Ingram Spark is brilliant because you get that wider distribution and the ability to get your book into bookstores if you're really lucky.
Yeah, I was going to say it's not guaranteed by a long shot, is it? It's
there
is the possibility if you use Ingram Spark, whereas with Amazon you're not going to get that. Where do you stand on ebooks? Do you make your book available for all the ebook formats, or do you just focus on Kindle? I'm trying to think if I've ever met anyone who uses anything other than Kindle. I don't think I have.
I recommend my clients do that, and all of my books. So most of my books are print and ebook. Certainly my most recent ones available on all of the ebook platforms, but I don't know anyone who doesn't use Kindle.
That's the thing, yeah.
My sixth book, I did something different. It's only available on Audible, but audio version. So, at the time, a lot of my clients were saying, you know, how do you do audiobooks? And I went, I don't know, let's do it. So my sixth book is only available on audio. Is interesting.
I'd love to know more about how the process for that works. How do you go about recording it? Because it all sounds so technical, and I can imagine having to hire a studio and all that kind of thing. It all sounds
The secret with any of this is to find an expert who can help you. I went into a studio. They did everything with me. So I've got a local studio. I know them really well anyway. I went in there. So they've got a sort of a proper room. They've got an editing suite. So they knew what I was, so they had a copy, I had a copy, I would read it. And when I cocked up, which was regular, they would then edit it and then we would go back. So it meant that we produced it. You know, imagine trying to be in your office and again, you've got to get the soundproofing right, otherwise it's echo. Imagine trying to do that. And then every time you fall over your words, you have to then go, oh God, I couldn't even imagine it. And they produced it in the format, which was easy to distribute as well. The only danger with having an audio book when you don't have a print book or an ebook, certainly at the time when I launched it, is you can't go on Audible. So that's something I've learned to my expense through the experience.
Gosh, yes. So Audible will only take books that are published that are in print format as well.
Or ebook. Yeah.
Gosh, I never knew that. Wow.
Yeah.
I was thinking most parts of putting together a book, you could do yourself, couldn't you? I mean, most bits, the formatting, you can do yourself. The Kindle formatting, you can do yourself. But yes, the idea of sitting in front of my laptop, recording me with the dogs barking outside and the phone going off, and it's just something very different, but probably an interesting experiment to do. And like you said, the best way to find out for you to tell your clients was for you doing it yourself.
It was a really, really great experience in terms of just doing it. And that book meant that when COVID hit, so I did that 2 years ago. So I did that September 2000, and where are we now? 19. So when COVID hit last year, because I'd written that, I had the format to create an online course. So I developed the Smart Author System, which was a process that I created in the book. And I developed an online training program that takes people through the whole process of planning, writing, publishing, launching, marketing, through the whole thing, because I had the content and it was easy to take that content and turn it into an online course, which has been going incredibly well for the last 18 months.
Yeah, no, that's really good. That's something that people don't think about when they write a book. I think what can come off it. I think a lot of people think, I'll write the book and the book will sell and that'll be it. And actually they'll write the book. No. The book probably won't sell in huge quantities. They might sell a handful, but it's looking at the other things that you can do as a result of that book, isn't it? And obviously for you, I mean, your whole business has kind of come out of writing the books in the first place. Has there been anything else that's come along that's really surprised you? Anything else that's happened as a result of becoming an author?
Certainly credibility. So one of the things I encourage all of my clients to do is to start talking about their books when they start writing them. And I do the same with my own books. I said I do what I tell other people to do. So personally, speaking engagements, I've done so many podcast interviews and things like that have come about as a result of having a book. I did I was TEDx speaker in 2017, which came off the back of being a published author and having something to say. And actually through one of my books that I'd written, it gave me the content for that TEDx as well. Again, but it's about looking at how you can be smart about it. So there's a reason why I've got the Smart Author System. It's about being smart about it in terms of using the stuff that you're writing in the book to become a course, so it's looking at how everything fits together really neatly. It's not much point, if you're a stress management coach, it's not much point in writing a book about parenting unless it's about how to parent stress kids. So it's about making sure everything is aligned, and then you can leverage it. So I do that myself. Anything that surprised me, not really surprise me, but certainly I think whenever you start to write a book, and I found this with my current one, is you develop so much more, even if you know your subject really well, a richness that happens when you go deeper. Mm-hmm. When you go deeper into maybe client stories, you go deeper into some of the learning, you start to do a little bit more research around a topic, there's such a richness that happens that I think is that's underappreciated, I think, when you start doing it, that when you get that knowledge and you go, oh, that's why that happens. And you start to maybe model how you do you, and you start to realize why you do things a certain way and actually why you get the results, you know, your secret sauce, the thing that makes you different. Mm-hmm. I think when you do focus on a book, you get so much more richness than you would have otherwise, whether you get a book out of it or not. I think there's a richness that happens.
Yeah, there's definitely, I mean, either that richness, that deepening of your own knowledge, or the sort of catharsis, is that a word? The cathartic feelings that you get if you're writing something very personal. I mean, my first book was about raising a child with ADHD, and going back through my diary and kind of reading how life used to be and how far we come, and rehashing kind of some of those really difficult times we had was really cathartic. So it could be a very healing process as well, I think, to, you know, depending on what you're writing about. Above and beyond the actual writing of the book, which sometimes is kind of a bit of a byproduct, really, it feels like.
it is. And one of the there are three, with the new book that I'm writing, there are kind of three pillars that I'm focusing. So the book is all about the overarching pillars, the overarching things that you need to think about before you even start even the process of even thinking about writing a book. And one of them is stories, you know, whether you're writing a how-to book, an information book that takes people from problem to solution, you need to include stories. And actually, even if you're not writing a memoir style book and you're wrapping your stories around some of your content, there's, again, you can explore that in terms of, oh, what did I learn from that situation? No, that's what I got from it. And I was talking to a client about that this morning. There's so much that happens when you start to realise that the lessons you've learned, the stories you've been through, the difficulties you've faced weren't for nothing, that you can use them to educate and guide your readers. And that is incredibly powerful as well.
Oh, gosh, definitely. Yeah. I mean, I think one of the main reasons that people write books is ultimately to help other people, isn't it? You've been through something and you've learned a lot from that experience, whether it's writing a book, whether it's going through a difficult divorce, whether it's battling cancer, whatever it might be. And I think, you know, as humans, we all have that kind of innate desire to help people, don't we? And sharing our stories can be such a powerful way, even if it just means somebody comes away thinking, I'm not the only one who feels like I feel. You know, you've kind of, your job is done if you can just touch somebody's life in that way. So you said that you sort of, going into the books, you get a much deeper understanding about your subjects and about your clients and your understanding of things. What else have you learned about yourself through becoming an author?
Gosh, that's really hard to say. I think I learn more from working with my clients when they kind of validate what I'm saying. I think, you know, when you can have that really kind of deep conversation with people, that is something that I get so much from. I've developed as a person. Certainly, I wrote The Mouse That Rules, which is my story, and back into around about 2016, 2017. That was the hardest book to write. Mm-hmm. And that was charting my own entrepreneurial journey, mainly sort of the courage, the fact that I wouldn't say boo to a goose when I started out in 2006. And now I'm more than happy to do speaking, podcasts, TEDx and things like that. Wow. And I know I've developed even further since then. I think it's just the journey for me has been more about the just doing it, just going, you know what, this is me, I'm going to show up because I've got something important to say. And I love it when I see that in other people. And obviously it's been my journey myself that I never thought back in 2006 that I would be, you know, 15 years later I'd be on book 9. And there are more in there at some stage.
I think some people write one book and that's it, and some people just get bitten by the writing bug and they will just carry on writing until they can't write anymore, basically. And you're obviously one of those people. So, you must have so many tips that you can give other people. What would be, the top three tips that you would pass on to anyone who was thinking of writing a book, whether it was a memoir or something to support their business?
Most important thing, plan. I could use that for all three tips, really. So when I sat down to write the current book, I went, I know my stuff, I don't need to do a plan. I got into it and I went, oh, I need to get my post-it notes out. So I encourage everybody to get their post-it notes out and actually structure the book before they start to write it. The deeper you go into the structure, the easier your book will be to write it. When you know exactly what's in chapter one, and you take your post-it notes and you form it into a structure in Word or Scrivener, however you decide to do it, and you've got bullet points, it will be easier to write. Again, I was talking about this with my client this morning, who's got stuck. Every time he sits down to write, he's been reviewing what he's written before and not moving forward. So that would be a tip number two, really, is don't do that. Because when you've got your plan and you know that chapter three covers, you know, A, B, C, D, E, F, G, you don't need to review what you've written already. Even if you've left it a couple of weeks, you can go back and you go, okay, this is what happens next. So, so don't edit as you go is tip number two. Tip number one is planning. So tip number three probably comes before all of that, is be really clear what you want your vision, what you want your book to do for you, your business, your readers, your clients. Where does it fit into the overall plan for your business? How are you going to make sure that what you're writing about in this book is what you want to get known for, what you want to talk about for the next few years, because you are going to be talking about it. You are going to be helping people. How does it lead into something that might come off the back of the book? Because, Alison, we know that the book, then we've alluded to this already, a book doesn't make much money. But actually, when you really integrate it into the core of your business, that's when the magic happens. That's when you can transform people on a deeper level through offering more to them that's going to help them so much more. So you're serving them, but equally you can grow the business that you want to grow, which is incredibly important.
Yeah. Something you said right at the beginning there about, you know, make sure you're writing about something that you're happy to talk about for the next few years. My first book was about raising a child with ADHD, and I just wrote it because I wanted to write a book. I didn't expect anything else to come of it. And in fact, I ended up becoming a speaker and running courses and you know, all sorts of things came off it. And then I had it republished by a traditional publisher who took it on for a second edition. And they were very keen for me to write a second book. And I got to the stage where I actually thought, I've been doing this for four years now. I'm bored. Yeah. I don't want to be talking about this anymore. And I didn't do that book because I thought, no, because that's just going to keep it going. And I'm at the stage now where I've talked to over 1,000 people about this. I don't want to tell anyone else, you know. So I think that's really important to be aware that it will catapult you. If you want it to, it will catapult you into that kind of public zone. And you have to be willing to talk about what you've written about, because otherwise, in terms of writing a book for a business especially, there's no point in doing it at all. So
that's
really important. So what's next for you? Your book number nine you're working on now, and what's to come after that, if you can tell us?
For number nine for now, I'm initially going to be launching it as an ebook, probably a print book next year. So I said it's quite close. It's part of the plan in my business. So it's not necessarily needing to be a print book. It's more of a philosophy and a sort of structure. It's almost a framework around everything I teach. So it's really important it comes out of me quite quickly. So I don't want to delay it and getting it out there. So it's likely to come out as a print book in 2022. I've got a group program that I run. I just want to inspire more authors to get their book out there in the best possible, easiest way. I take them through the whole process from planning, writing, publishing, launch, marketing, the whole shebang. And I want more authors, nonfiction authors, to actually get their book out that's going to really work for them and their business. And that's really my vision for the future. And if I can do that through my own learning, through my own experiences, and through examples of how I've worked with clients, that's the way forward for me. So that's the plan.
Plenty to keep you going, I think.
Plenty to keep you busy.
No, that's fantastic. And the more people that get their stories out there, the better, I think. But do it in the right way as well. I think that's really important. Yeah. So where can people find you online? Where can they find out more about you?
Pretty much all over the place. You can find me at libratas.com, which is LIBROTAS, which is Libro for book, Libertas for freedom, because it also is about the freedom that you get from writing a book. So that's where that came from. You can find me all over social media, either as Libertas or Karen Williams Libertas. On my website, there's a free download. There's a couple of free downloads. There's a 21 questions workbook to get people started. And there's a masterclass that gives you more about the framework that I teach to all of my clients. So if people are thinking about writing a book, they don't know where to start, that's a good place to go as well. But follow me, sign up for regular email updates. I'm never short of content, Alison. I send out something every week.
I'm on your email list. I see it.
There's content spewing out of me, and there's more to come at the moment.
I think there probably is. Thank you so much for being a guest on the podcast today, Karen. It's been really lovely to talk to you.
Thanks, Alison.
Williams for being my guest on the show today. You can find out more about Karen at her website, libertas.com, or find her books on Amazon and at all good booksellers. As usual, all the links are in the show notes. If you want to write a book but you need some help getting started, then Karen can help you, as can I. My website is www.theproofferry.com, where you can find out more about how I work with authors and book a free call with me. You'll also find all the episodes of this podcast there, along with details on how to apply to be a guest on the show. If you've enjoyed this podcast, then please subscribe, share it, rate it, and tell your friends about it. This has been a Proof Fairy production, and I'll be back next week with another inspiring interview with another amazing author. Bye for now.